And last night, RCMP Superintendent Warren Brown gave his 2015 year-end presentation to City Council. He also identified his priorities for the year 2016. And to tell us more about those, he joins us now. Good morning, Superintendent Warren Brown.
Yeah, good morning.
So last year, near the end of the year, when you were asking the city for more money for extra officers, you told them that Prince George is a dangerous city. What did that look like in terms of the crimes being committed in Prince George in 2015?
Well, our crimes actually sought each other off in that property crimes, we saw a slight increase, and our crimes against people or violent crimes decreased, albeit we did have four homicides.
And I noted also that last year had the highest crime rate since, I believe it was 2008.
Well, the highest calls for service.
And what is the difference, just so people understand it, between calls for service and crimes?
Well, crimes are those offenses that are contrary to the criminal code, the Controlled Drugs and Substance Act. Calls for service are often disturbances, barking dogs, false alarms, mental health act. So a lot of calls, including motor vehicle accidents that the police respond to, but are not necessarily criminal acts.
I see. So in terms of crime, how would you say 2015 compared to previous years? Would you say it was trending the direction you would like it to see, or are there some concerns?
Well, certainly not the direction I'd like to see. I would have preferred to see a much sharper decrease in our crime rates. However, with the resources we have and the initiatives we have, there's only so much we can do. So we will continue to bolster those efforts the upcoming year. We're changing some initiatives around and look for more collaboratives and community involvement in addressing some of the social issues that are underlying root causes for a lot of the crimes we have.
And I know there's some interesting programs that I want to ask you about. One other thing, though, from your presentation that I took note of was an increase in the prisoner count. It was 4,712 last year, which was up from 500 in 2014 and up from more than 1,000 in 2013. Do you have any thoughts on what's behind this increase?
Well, when we look at stats and data for that, it's an increase in every area. We continue to house a high number of social chronic offenders. So those are people who typically come to our attention because they're under the influence of drugs or alcohol. So that's a concern for me. And historically, that's been a policing issue. So that's one area that I hope to get a better grasp and understanding of this year and see if there's not other stakeholders in the community that can assist us in that regard.
Is there a positive spin to it in that more people in prison means that police have been finding and locking up more criminals?
Well, I don't think locking up criminals is the answer. There's certainly some that do need to be locked up, and that's a very small percentage. However, it's the person who's not able to care for themselves because of a high level of intoxication. That's what concerns me, and we have a very high number. We have some people that we lodge in excess of 100 times a year because of that, and there has to be a better way from a community perspective to deal with that.
So when you have these prisoner counts, if somebody goes to jail, gets out, and comes back in, is that two prisoner counts or is that one?
That would be a count for each time that person comes to jail.
So you're seeing some of these are one individual person. They're accounting for like 100 or more times of being put in prison.
Yeah, that's correct. And again, the reason we do that is because it really is the only option we have in our community to safeguard that person so they don't harm themselves or others.
And another thing that keeps increasing, and maybe it's related to this, is the mental health calls that police are being taken out on in Prince George.
Yeah, we have seen a steady increase in that regard. And again, I can't tell you why that's occurring, just the simple fact that it is occurring. And as a result, this year we began an initiative, or this past year, with Northern Health. That's our CAR 60 program. That's a program where a police officer and a mental health nurse ride together and provide a more robust and wraparound service for those folks who suffer from mental health issues.
Well, and I remember when we were going back to this conversation, when you were asking council for increased funding so you could hire more officers, you said with those officers, you could be more proactive in your approach. You did get that funding. Those officers, I believe, will be arriving sometime around September this year. So when that happens, what's your plan for them? How do you plan to tackle some of the problems you're seeing recurring?
Well, so what we've done is this past year and in years prior, we have started a number of new programs. So the Downtown Safety Unit is one where we've designated three officers to have a higher police presence in the downtown core, not only to have a visible police presence to deter crime, but also to work with a lot of these vulnerable clients and support their needs as well. So we have the Downtown Safety Unit. We have the CAR 60 program, which involves two members. We've created an urban Aboriginal constable position, as well as a domestic violence unit. So in total, there's about seven or eight bodies that we took from general duty. So what we've done is rob Peter to pay Paul. That's still a good initiative. I still support that. However, we've taken police off the road, and that just compounds the additional pressures and calls for service that fewer people are now responding to. But I say that in time, that may reduce the number of calls. So it may cost a dime today to save a dollar tomorrow. So with those additional bodies, that will just replenish those members we've taken off general duty. Or if you want to look at it this way as well, it would just ensure that those programs can continue.
Another thing that you identified as a big win for the past year was the restorative justice program.
Yes, so we have a very well-established restorative justice program already in our community. That's the Prince George Urban Aboriginal Justice Society, and they do restorative justice for folks who fall within a certain criteria here in Prince George. Because that's a small percentage of people, we have a wider range of people that don't meet the mandate for that program. So that's a gap that exists, and we need to bridge that gap. So the detachment took on the responsibility of getting a program up and running this past year, and we've done that. We have over 20 volunteers. It's a strictly a volunteer-run program. We have some facilitators who fall under the community policing umbrella here, and we've had three or four circles already, and there's a program that I really think if we get it up and running to its full totality, we could certainly reduce the pressures in our criminal courts and perhaps deter criminals from or young people or those who are dabbling in crime to perhaps cease that behavior.
And so how does it do that? Just by, rather than putting people through the court system, you work more on rehabilitating them?
Well, there's a work plan that comes out. It gives the offender an opportunity to meet his or her victims. It gives the victims an opportunity to understand why crime is being committed. It gives facilitators and those around the circle who support both the victim and the offender, including the police officer, an opportunity to just give a general statement on the impact that criminal offense has been. So that could be anything from a shoplifter to perhaps graffiti to broken windows, perhaps your more trivial theft. So hopefully once the offender is held accountable and there's some consequence for him or her, it would cause them to perhaps revisit why they're committing those offenses in the first place and deter them from that behavior in the future.
You're also looking at setting up a native court system. What can you tell me about that?
Well, the native court workers in our community have looked at other programs throughout BC. So here in the north, which Prince George is the hub of, we don't have a native court, and we see that it's running in Kamloops, New Westminster, North Van, and Duncan. And the feedback that we have is that's a very positive program. So because of the overrepresented crime we have here in Prince George, based on population, with the high number of Aboriginal folks, we feel that it's time in our community to have a native court up and running. So we're in the infancy right now, getting buy-in from stakeholders, and hopefully we can further garner support and get that program up and running here in our community.
And how would this work as opposed to just a regular court system or this restorative justice system?
Well, it's very similar principles to restorative justice. Again, it holds the offender accountable for what he or her have done. It gives them a healing plan. It allows other stakeholders to have some contribution. It's more acceptable in many ways to the culture of that individual, and hopefully the takeaway is not only an opportunity to reflect on behavior, but perhaps to assist and support that person so that behavior doesn't continue.
It sounds like you have ambitious plans for 2016. Just Warren Brown, RCMP Superintendent in Prince George, thank you for your